You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We've been teaching a series on gifts of the Spirit and baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then gifts of the Spirit out of 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10. And last week we took 1 Corinthians 12 and just took it verse by verse, just slowly went from the first verse all the way up into the 8th, 9th, and 10th verse, and talked about what Paul was saying in context. You know, a lot of times people just grab one scripture, they grab another scripture, and they don't look what's before, they don't look what's after, and they don't take the context of it. And of course, it's all got to fall to feet of Jesus, amen? You got to make everything fit with Him. So here we are in 1 Corinthians 12, and Paul is dealing with a problem that the church of Corinth had about showboating, you know, disunity, not submitting to one another, and not following leadership, and forming cliques and divisions and so on and so forth. And that's the theme you see all through 1 Corinthians that he addresses from the very beginning. And so now he's talking about the gifts, and he wants to make sure people don't start, you know, looking at one person that moves in a gift better than another person who moves in a gift, or one gift better than another gift. Are you with me? Or the way one gives a gift better than the way another one gives a gift. He said, we've got to strive for unity here. There's different ways to operate in the gifts, and there's different gifts, and there's different offices that people operate in. But it's the same Lord, and it's the same God, amen, and the same Spirit. And the manifestation of the Spirit, he says in the 7th verse, is given to every man to profit with all. In other words, it's not about if I were to have a tongue and interpretation, or if I were to have a prophecy, or I were to have a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and gift discerning spirit, or someone were a cripple and I grabbed them with a gift of healing and just jerked them out of that chair and they ran off, or, you know, or a gift of working a miracle, someone didn't have an eye and an eye just appeared in their head or something, you know, that's not for me. That's for all of us. That's not to promote me. That's not to make me important. That's not for you to worship me or the gift, the person that moves in the gift. The gift is for everyone. But we've kind of got this star status thing going, don't we? I mean, you know, somebody preaches real good and they think, oh man, wow, he is it. He's the star. Or somebody has a lot of healings or miracles, and we kind of walk around them like they're just not from this world. You know, they're not one of us. But that's what Paul addresses and what he tries to shoot down over and over and over. We're all in this thing together. And I may water and somebody else may plant, but God gives the increase. Amen. And to one is given, and he lists the gifts in the 8th, 9th, and 10th verses of this 12th chapter. He says to one is given the word of wisdom. To another is given the word of knowledge. And he lists all the gifts. And he says these are all divided severally to each man as the Spirit wills. And he goes right on down and talks about us being each members of the body. We're each members, but we all make up the body. And the hand can't say to the eye, I have no need of thee. And the eye cannot say to the ear, I have no need of thee. We need all the gifts. We need each other. We need everybody. There's no one person more important than another. We're all equally loved. Are you with me? Hallelujah. We have different lines of authority. I understand that. We operate in different gifts. Sure, he says that. No question. But we're all equally important, and we're all equally loved, and we all need each other. So that's what he's addressing here. And then he goes, after he gets into that, he talks about the gifts here and talks about the body here in the 12th chapter. Then he talks about love in the 13th chapter. If I speak in tongues, men and angels have not love, I'm sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. If I give my body to be burned and give all my gifts to my possessions to the poor and have not love, I'm sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. You know, he goes through this whole thing. Now, was he saying that we ought to just love and not speak in tongues? Well, that's like saying don't give to the poor. Because he said, though I give all my money to the poor. He's talking about motive there. He's not talking about one or the other. He's not talking about love instead of tongues, or love instead of prophecy, or love instead of even sacrificing yourself, giving yourself as a martyr, love instead of giving to the poor. He's talking about love as the way we do all those things. Not either or, but he's talking about motives and ways we do it. So we move in the gifts in love. We don't move in the gifts to showboat or to draw people to us, or to make us look spiritual. We move into gifts in love. Love's not a thing separate from the gifts, or a thing as an option to the gifts. Love is a way we do all things. You catch that? So a lot of people say, well, we don't need all the gifts, we just need love. Well, that was just hundreds of miles north of what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 13. He was saying we need to do all those things, we just need to do them in love. Y'all catching this? He wasn't saying we need love instead of those things. He's saying those things don't mean anything without love. I mean, if I got up here and started prophesying and I just meaner than a snake and just knocked you on the ground and prophesied to you, thus says the Lord. Well, you know, it's going to lose some impact. Are you with me? Because I didn't do it in love. If I stood up here and taught and just beat you overhead with a two before, every time you came down here and, you know, sacrificed your time and made an effort to come down here to church to hear from God and hear something from the Lord, and I just beat you up and leave you, you know, bruised and black eyes and crawling out of here. I might have used the scripture, but I didn't use it in love. The Bible says speak the truth in love. Amen. So that's what he's talking about, 13th chapter. The 14th chapter goes in, I'm giving you a real nutshell here. The 14th chapter goes into the actual operation of the gifts in the church. Talks about how they should operate in the church. He gets in very detailed description of what how it should work. A tongue should be interpreted. A prophecy, you know, we should honor prophets that prophesy by two, the most by three. And if somebody interrupts, the one that started should sit down and let the other one continue and finish. I mean, it gets down to detail on how to prophesy. And I think it's interesting, even the 11th chapter talks about a woman prophesying with her head covered, meaning, you know, you need hair on your head, women. I think that's a wonderful thing. There were Jewish customs where there were veils and so on. And women did prophesy all through the Scripture. There's no question. They taught. Philip the Evangelist had four virgin daughters that prophesied, we know. Anna was a prophetess that saw Jesus when he was a young baby. There was a time and a place for that. Actually all the ministries you see in the New Testament, women operated in, except the pastoral ministry. You don't see that. Now, I'm not making a big point. Don't get mad at me. I just can't think of one where I see a pastor woman as a pastor. I realize God uses whoever he can. I think there are places where women have pastored because men hadn't stepped up to the plate. Are you with me? But as far as teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets, you have prophets, you have an apostolic type ministry, you have a teaching ministry, you have all that through the Scripture. When a man desires the office of bishop, it doesn't say wife of one husband, it says husband of one wife. And they were all men that they picked. Now that's not, I haven't lost you women on that, have I? Because that has nothing to do. Now I'm just quoting scripture. Okay, so I'm just quoting scripture. If I'm wrong, correct me. That's fine. You show me one, I'll sure go for it. I don't see one. I hadn't found one. And I am for women preachers, women teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets. Just that ministry is the only one we don't see an example of that in the Bible. We don't have one in the New Testament. In fact, the requirements are talking about men. But women can teach. And I think when it talks about a woman teaching over a man, it's talking about not teaching over the pastor. There should be a man in charge of a church. I believe that's what it's talking about. It makes perfect sense because you got women teaching all through the Bible. You got women prophesying. Even he tells you how to prophesy as a woman about your head being covered and so on and so forth. Okay, but I digress. We're talking about the gifts. Amen? I love opening up a can of worms when I got 20 minutes left. You know what I mean? Okay. I'm not a male chauvinist at all. Brenna preaches and teaches, and, you know, Amanda does a great job. Goodness gracious, Eva goes all over the world preaching and teaching. Okay. 10th verse. 8th verse. Let's start in the 8th verse. For to one is given. Everybody say to one. Now, is he saying everybody does it? No, he's saying to one. Now, this is separate and different from Acts 2, where they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and they all spoke with tongues. This is separate from Acts 10, where they all spoke with tongues. This is different than Acts 19, where they all spoke with tongues. This is different than what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, where he says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words of my understanding than 10,000 words of an unknown tongue, that by my voice I might teach others also. So there's a distinction between being baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, and the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and the gift of the word of wisdom, and the gift of the word of knowledge, and the gift of working miracles, the gifts of healings, and the gift of discerning the spirits, and the gift of prophecy. There's a distinction there between their counterpart. There's a counterpart. We can all lay hands on the sick, and they can recover. We should all pray one for another to be healed, but that's not the gifts of healings. Are you out there? Because the gifts of healings are given to one as the Spirit wills. Y'all see that? But every one of us can lay hands on the sick, and they recover, maybe not instantaneously like a gift, but we keep believing, standing on the word, we're going to see a miracle. Isn't that right? So there's a counterpart to these gifts in the sense of the will, my will involved. I can pray and believe for a healing. I can pray and believe for a miracle. We can all do that. That's not the gift. I pray in tongues ever since I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But that's not the gift of tongues with the interpretation. For these come to one as the Spirit wills. It's not my will, it says the Spirit wills. Y'all see that? So it says, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. I just want to hang around on these two right here, because if I try to go through all these, we just won't get anything covered. The word of wisdom is future. The word of knowledge is present. Now, that just common sense will tell you that. If I have knowledge of something, I know something's going on. That's knowledge. You can look it up in the dictionary. Knowledge is present. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. It's knowing what to do with information. So wisdom is future. Wisdom is planning. Wisdom is understanding purposes. So I have knowledge. What do I do with it? That's wisdom. That's even in the natural. We know that. A wise man heard the sayings of Jesus and did them. Okay? He applied it in his life. A foolish man heard them and did them not. Remember that when Jesus said that? Did they both have knowledge? Yeah, they both had knowledge because they both heard. But only one of them had wisdom and acted and saw the purpose of it and applied it to his future. In fact, when the word of wisdom comes forth, even in the prophets of old and even in the New Testament, when the word of wisdom comes forth, there usually is some instruction with it because it's dealing with what's going to happen. It's dealing with the future. And it either forewarns you to get out of the way or prepares you to get ready for something, are you with me, or instructs you to go this place, that place, but it's always about the future. Wisdom always deals with the future. Application of information. Knowledge doesn't. Knowledge is, although it's a word of knowledge and supernatural and you couldn't know it any other way, it's a gift. It's not just knowing stuff. It's God revealing it to you. These are revelation gifts. These are gifts that come by the Spirit as the Spirit wills. Now, you can go read a book and learn stuff. You can sit around with somebody and find out what's going on in their life. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about God revealing to you something. Hello. Like that woman that came to Jesus in John the 4th chapter at the well, and he was preaching to her, you know, and he said, go get your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, well, that's right. You've had five, and the one you're living with right now is not your husband. That wasn't future. He didn't give her any instruction. He didn't tell her to do anything. He was just revealing something that he knew just by the Spirit. Just knew it. Ananias and Sapphira came to Peter when they were giving offerings and selling land and giving it to the church at Jerusalem when they started, because a drought was coming and the people were selling everything they had and giving it, and they lied and gave part of the money, which they had the right to do. There was nothing wrong with that, but they lied and said they gave all the money. And Peter stood there and says, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. You gave part of that money, not all that money. And when it was yours, you had the right to do what you wanted, you will with it. That's what he told them. But he says, you've lied to us and you've lied to the Holy Ghost, and he died right then. But there wasn't any instruction there. There wasn't any, are you with me? There's nothing future about that. God revealed to Peter supernaturally exactly what that man had done. Sometimes it reveals good things. Sometimes it reveals bad things. That's knowledge. That's just present tense. Knowledge is present tense. Wisdom is future tense when something's predictive. Think about Noah. When God revealed to Noah that he's going to flood the world, what did he do? He gave him instruction, told him to build an ark, said he's going to destroy the world. Think about when God revealed to Abraham that he was going to take him to a promised land, and he needed him to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to the land. Instruction came about the future, what he wanted him to do. And he gave instruction about how he wanted to lay that thing out. Many times we're forewarned. The word of wisdom was in operation when Joseph interpreted the dream that Pharaoh had. Remember, Pharaoh had a dream of 7 fat cows, 7 skinny cows, 7 fat corn stalks of corn, and 7 skinny ones. And what he saw there interpreted was 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And see, Joseph, that was future tense, that was future, and yet along with that was instruction. Here's what you should do. Set aside during those good years, get ready for the bad that's coming. That was forewarning him with instruction, something to do. Predictive, wisdom, applying information. So knowledge is present, and wisdom is future, and usually involves instruction. And that's what you see in these prophecies, Old Testament and New. Usually there's instruction. And, you know, remember Paul was shipwrecked in the book of Acts. And before that, there were several nights in the deep. And I mean, all hope that they'd be saved was lost, is what it says. But in the middle of the night, he had a dream, and the angel of God appeared before him. And he told the people, he said, "The angel of God appeared before me, of whose I am and whom I serve. And he told me we will be saved and we will be spared and no loss of life will take place on this ship. But we must stay on this ship and no one must get off." So he prepared him, told him what was going to happen, told him about a protection and deliverance that was going to come. But also there was instruction in that. I think that's significant because sometimes people get a word from God, maybe about the future, supernaturally, maybe God reveals something. And for whatever reason, they don't follow the instruction. Hello. And many times they'll say, "Well, I guess that wasn't God." Well, did you do what God said to do? He told you what to do. Did you do what he said to do? I mean, in that sense, all the blessings in Deuteronomy 28 are predictive in some sense. Because he said, "If you'll hearken to my voice and you do that which is right on my side, and you obey my commandments which I command you this day, and I will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you, and they'll overtake you, and blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall you be coming in, blessed shall you be going out, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. I cause the rain to come down your land in its season. I bless all the work of your hand. You will lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow." Hallelujah, somebody. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight, keep these commandments which I command you this day. See, there's a prediction of the future. God is showing you how the future can be, but it's contingent on you following the instructions. Woo! He turns right around, 14th verse, he says, "If you go after other gods, and you do not hearken to my voice, and you do not do that which is right in the sight, all these curses will come on you, and they will overtake you, and curses shall you be in the city." And I mean, he just lists them all out there. Are you out there? Hallelujah. So even though wisdom is a supernatural prediction of the future, normally it includes some kind of instruction that you and I must adhere to, and we must stand on it. You have to stand on prophecies. Take strength from the prophecies that you're given, you know, if you believe the prophets, you know, if you believe the prophecy, as it were. You know, I can think of times in my life where God revealed things to me. I remember one time, you know, Charity came in with Amanda, and they were teenagers, and they were supposed to have gone somewhere, and they didn't. They went somewhere else. And they walked in the back door, and I was sitting on a couch. I was sitting on a chair in a corner at that time. We had a chair in a corner. I was sitting there, he walked in the door, and I said, "You know, the Holy Ghost just told me you met a guy named Don in the parking lot of the church. You didn't go where you're supposed to go. Told me his name. Told me where they were." It'll help you raise your kids. Gifts of the Spirit will help you raise your kids. And her face turned white as, "Is this the truth?" "That's the truth." And he was bad news. I said, "You better stay away from that guy." I said, "God showed me that for a reason." That was a word of knowledge. It wasn't anything, you know. And sure enough, it was trouble, and we took care of that situation. Hello. But, I mean, the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit will help you raise your children. I remember one time I was at Lakewood, going to Lakewood Church, and I was working on a construction job. I worked construction for years, built industrial cooling towers and chemical plants all over Houston. And actually, I've never stopped construction work even after I started pastoring. We've just been building ever since. But anyway, I'd come home and I was getting ready for church, and I jumped in the shower and I was in a hurry. I was praying in tongues. I do my best singing in the shower. And the Holy Ghost brought before my eyes or my mind my brother at that time who was not serving God. And he told me, while I was just praying in tongues, getting ready to go to church, and he said, call your brother. I didn't even know where my brother was. He's at your sister's house. I'm just going to say, he's been drinking. He's living with someone. You tell him to get on a bus and get down here to Houston. Pick him up tomorrow. Now, this is on Tuesday because it was the next day. That's right. Pick him up tomorrow and take him to Lakewood Church with you, and he'll get saved. Call him up and tell him that. I mean, when something like that happens, you just obey. I mean, just out of the blue that came. So I got on the phone. I said, called my sister. She said, hello, Mike. I said, Regina, I need to talk to Lemoyne. She said, well, he's right here. I said, put him on the phone, which I knew he was right there. God just told me that. And he got on the phone. He says, hello. And I said, listen to me. Don't say a word until I get through. I told him exactly what the Holy Ghost told me. I said, the Holy Ghost just told me this. And I told him this whole situation, the situation he was in, and if he'd get on a bus and come down to Houston and come to church, he'd get right with God. And you know what? He got on that bus and he got down there and he got right with God. Amen. He had enough sense to listen to the Spirit of God. Yes, see, that was a word of wisdom, word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, because the word of God told me. I mean, I didn't even talk to my brother in months. I didn't have a clue where he was living or where he was, what he was doing, and God just laid all that out for me in an instant. That was a word of knowledge, and that was a word of wisdom. And you know what? It came, it was gone. Didn't tell me his whole life. I didn't know anything else after that. He just told me that, and he told me to do something about it, and I did. Woo! I'm glad I did. Amen? Hallelujah. So, wisdom usually has instruction in it. Wisdom deals with the future. I remember one time we got behind on our note here in the church. We had a tough year one year. We paid like 9 late payments in one year in our church. I mean, it was tough. I had gone to work. I was probably working 60 hours a week in Dallas, and I was off on Wednesdays and Sundays to keep the church going, you know. And, of course, I had kids, and I had to feed my kids. My first obligation is not you. My first obligation is my family. Are you with me? God first, family, then church. That's the way it's got to be. So I worked to where I continued to pastor and, you know, and be here on Wednesdays and Sundays, but I went out and got a job, and I was working. Man, I was working. And we had gotten behind, and we're doing everything we could to pay our bills and work with the bank and stay. You know, thank God we're out of debt. But we had our total offering the week before. The total church offering was like $200, and we owed $2,000, I think we owed. We owed $2,000 by Monday, and the week before the offering was $200. That's what it was. And I thought, that just won't add up. Are you with me? Now, Mo, you know this, because Mo was here in that service. Thursday night, I was watching Christian television. And I, you know, don't even remember what they were preaching on. I remember who it was, but it wasn't even relevant. The Spirit of God spoke to me and said, as I was watching television, he said, get up Sunday morning, teach on the widow's mite, teach on the widow of Zarephath that gave away the cake and a meal, and put the prophet first. And don't make a pull. Don't get up and say, who give 1,000, who give me 500, who give me 100, who give me, you know, don't do that. But just get up and tell the people that we're going to take an offering and put the offering, you know, put it first. And I will make sure that every bit of that money will come in. And he said this. He said, give the first $1,000 to Lakewood's building, because they were building a new building at that time. That was the 8,000-seat auditorium they had. Now they're in a 16,000-seat. Okay, well, wait a minute. We need $2,000, and God's telling us to give $1,000 to Lakewood Church. Now that, I don't know, you know, I mean, I didn't graduate from high school, but the math doesn't work for me. But I heard God, and I know I heard God. In fact, I was excited. I was so excited that God had spoke to me. I didn't come up with that plan. I didn't. That wasn't my scheme. God spoke to me. And he said, you tell the people that you're going to give the first $1,000 of that offering. Tell them what you need for the next day. Tell them what came in the week before. Tell them that we're just going to take this offering. We're not going to make a pull. We're going to receive the offering at the end of the service. And the first $1,000 is going to Lakewood, and I'll make sure you have the other two. So I got up, preached that sermon. We had a gravel parking lot at that time. I said, when this offering's over, if y'all want to come back tonight and find out what it was, if it's not enough to pay for this $2,000 and $1,000 Lakewood, you can drag me out in that parking lot and stone me. I'm not a prophet of God. I've lied to you. I said that in the service. And I was laughing when I said it. I said, I know I heard God. Received the offering. Had the biggest Sunday night crowd we ever had.
Wow.
They're thinking, we're going to have a stoning tonight, you know. Just, I didn't make a pull. I didn't beg. I didn't make a big deal. We just received the offering at the end of the service. Came back at night. We had $5,000 coming offering.
Praise God.
Isn't that awesome? But see, that was a word of wisdom. And, you know, you had to follow the instructions. You had to follow the 1, 2, 3s, the ABCs, as it were. Because God reveals the future, but he's really revealing his purpose. He's revealing his wisdom is God's purpose. It's how you use information. It's what God wants you to do with information. It's prediction, yes. It's future, no question. But it's instructive also. And we need that. Lots of times I need that. You know, lots of times you need that. Now, I know you're not going to flow in it 24/7, but if you pray and you pray and you seek God, especially if you pray in the Holy Ghost, there are going to be times that God will speak to you. I really believe that, and give you instruction. I don't think that in the church service that every one of us are going to be equally used in the gifts, because God gives to one and God gives to another, and some people in different ministries obviously are going to be moving in some gifts more than others. An evangelist probably move more in gifts of healings and working the miracles because of the crusades and the type ministry, the office that they're in. But we should be open for God to speak to us all the time. Are you with me? And you just never know when that time is. I could probably a handful of times in my lifetime, but I've never forgotten them. There were critical times in my life. There were critical areas, times that I needed to hear from God. Are you with me? I remember another time. I don't want to tell all these stories. I remember when Francine got hit in Terrell, Sissy's mother. I never will forget that. It was a miracle that we got a hold of Chris and Sissy because they'd gone off. They were going off to Shreveport, I think, on a hog dog contest. And we just happened to catch them. It's just a miracle we caught them at the right time. And so they met us back at the church, so we drove with them to the hospital, and the news was not good. In fact, I'd already talked to Elias on the phone, and he said that she's going to die. The doctors don't give her any hope. She's not going to make it. It threw her out of the car. Threw her out of the car out on the pavement. They covered her up. But a neighbor that was watching it saw her breathing, saw her moving or something. And they worked on her again. They got her to, was it Baylor? Yeah, got her to Baylor. Well, we're going over there. Now, I'm just praying in tongues. I'm praying in tongues. And I told Elias, I said, Elias, don't say that. Don't say that. I said, we're going to believe for a miracle. Of course, he's in the middle of it. I mean, I'm not getting on to him. I'm just saying, hey, we're going to pray. We're going to believe God. I'll stand with you. I'll believe with you. You know, let's just, if we can't do anything, don't say anything. Let's pray. And so we were on our way over there. And Sissy said, tell me something good about my mama. You know, tell me something good. I want to know something good. What do you know, you know? And I didn't know anything good in the natural. I didn't know anything. And I never will forget. I said, God, I need to hear something from you. I mean, I can say all this in faith. I can make this confession. But I need to hear something from you. I remember this. And I heard in my spirit, she will live. She will live and not... God, I apologize for being so emotional. She will live and not die. I heard that. And I turned around and I told Sissy, remember, Sissy, you remember that? I said, Sissy, I would not lie to you. That's exactly what I told her. I heard God say that your mama's going to live and not die. And I tell you, we got there. The chaplain had already been in there. They'd all given up, had the family together, was getting them ready for, she wasn't going to make it, no hope, none at all. There was no hope there in the natural when we got to that hospital. And it was like that almost every night, because every day she made it, they'd go, well, she's not going to make it this night. And it was, you know, we prayed and we just kept believing. And she squeezed my hand that night while I was standing there holding her. And she was all swollen up and everything. And I told the nurse, she just squeezed my hand. And they came running in there and started working on her again, you know. And Sissy needed that. I needed that. We needed that. That was a word of wisdom. Don't you give up. No, she's going to live and not die. What if we just all quit and just said, oh, it's over, you know? No, we wouldn't do that. Wouldn't quit. No, no, no. Wouldn't quit. Everybody's screaming and hollering. Well, you're screaming and hollering. Everybody's crying. That's fine. Cry. Just cry. Jesus, you know, just scream. She's healed. That's all. You know, your knees may knock, but kneel on them. Your lips may quiver, but just keep saying a word. These gifts are timely. And you know, the best gift is whichever one you need at the time. There's not anyone better than another one. It's just whichever one's needed at the time. That's the best one. I thank God for the supernatural. I do not know where I'd be if I did not have the supernatural in my life. If I didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. If I didn't believe in healing. I didn't believe in miracles. If I didn't believe God could speak to me. These gifts tell us that God cares. And they tell us that God's concerned. They tell us that God does interact with us. And He does speak with us. And if we'll serve God in those times of crisis, He'll come through. And He'll reveal things to you. Woo! Good stuff. You know, I didn't read a lot of scripture tonight, but that help you?